From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua with part two of a message called The False Lord of Righteousness and the True. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Christian Liberality. The text is Psalm 41 and verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. To think about the poor and let them lie on our hearts is a Christian man's duty. For Jesus put them with us and near us when he said, The poor ye have always with you. Many give their money to the poor in a hurry, without thought, and many more give nothing at all. This precious promise belongs to those who consider the poor, look into their case, devise plans for their benefit, and considerately carry them out. We can do more by care than by cash, and most with two together. To those who consider the poor, the Lord promises His own consideration in times of distress. He will bring us out of trouble if we help others when they are in trouble. We shall receive very singular providential help if the Lord sees that we try to provide for others. We shall have a time of trouble, however generous we may be. But if we are charitable, we may put in a claim for peculiar deliverance, and the Lord will not deny His own word and bond. Miserly curmudgeons may help themselves, but considerate and generous believers the Lord will help. As you have done unto others, so will the Lord do unto you. Empty your pockets.
Shepherd will supply my need.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. In Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, we read of Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, who gathered a coalition of four other Canaanite kings to make war on the Gibeonites because they had entered into a league with Israel. Adonai Zedek means literally king of righteousness. Joshua is the Hebrew rendering of Jesus. This king's name would give the impression of great spirituality. But nothing could be further from the truth, for he was a bitter enemy of God's people. In complete contrast, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true King of righteousness, the blessed Son of God, who took upon himself flesh in order to redeem sinners through his sacrifice on the cross. In this message, Dr. Cairns is illustrating the battle of the Church of Jesus Christ with the forces of apostasy. Now to continue the message called The False Lord of Righteousness and the True, here is Dr. Cairns.
Jerusalem. It's an interesting name. This is actually the first occurrence of the name Jerusalem in the Bible. Previously, the city had simply been called Salem. And as I'm sure you'll know, Salem simply means peace. To this day, when one Israeli meets another, he will say shalom. It's basically the very same word. And it is the greeting of peace. That was the name of the city. Jerusalem, however, means literally the vision of peace. To use the words of a great American commentator in this passage, it is a prophetic allusion to to the gospel of peace. Now, how did Salem come to be Jerusalem? There may be some discussion about that, but I think the Scripture supplies the answer. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, we read of how Abraham came into this very area, to Mount Moriah, and remember that's where Jerusalem is built. He came to this very area at the command of God to offer up Isaac his son. You may recall that as he had Isaac bound and led upon the altar and was about to sacrifice him unto the Lord in the sure knowledge that God would raise him again from the dead, he believed that. As he was about to do so, the Lord stopped him and he pointed him to a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And the Lord fulfilled Abraham's own word to Isaac a little while earlier, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And so he did. And there, in a great act of substitution, God's lamb took the place of Isaac upon the altar and died in his place. Now, after that, we read that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh. Now the interesting thing is that the Jireh, or the Yireh, is the same verb that is attached to the word Salem to give us the name Jerusalem. So that Jerusalem as a name holds a great prophecy in it. Jerusalem is more than a mere name. It is a message. It is a prophecy fulfilling Abraham's vision of peace that would come through the sacrifice of God's Lamb on Mount Moriah. All that is in the name Jerusalem. Now the name Adonai Zedek, as I've indicated, means the Lord of righteousness. I think that it's abundantly clear that this man was a successor of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and the king of Salem. Probably Adonai Zedek was not a personal name. It's more likely to have been a hereditary name of the kings of Jerusalem, just as Pharaoh was a hereditary name of the kings of Egypt, and Abimelech was the hereditary name of the kings of Gerar. So I would take it Adonai Zedek was the name that belonged to the king of Jerusalem. Now let's stop for a moment and let's reflect on the aptness of these names. The Lord of righteousness is the king over the city where peace is purchased by the sacrifice of God's appointed lamb. I think there is a tremendously appropriate nature to the names that are here joined together. And I say that because this is essentially the very message of Hebrews chapter 7. Now I know the name is slightly different. I'll come to that in a moment. But in the opening verses of Hebrews 7, we read that this Melchizedek, which means king of righteousness, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, that's Melchizedek, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now as far as the mere titles go, the statement holds equally good if you put in the name Adonai Zedek in the place of Melchizedek. You see, the true king of peace is first the Lord of righteousness. It's easy to say that, but there's much gospel in that statement. According to the apostle, and indeed according to the Old Testament prophets as well, both those titles belong properly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are the two fundamentals of the gospel of Christ. Here are the two fundamental aspects of the work of the Savior. He is first of all the Lord of righteousness. The first aspect of the work of Christ is the work of righteousness. The word is justice. It's the work of justice. That is satisfaction of God. And unless you see this, you will never really be right on the gospel of Christ. People make all sorts of mistakes in other areas of the gospel because they don't grasp this fundamental truth about Jesus Christ, that He is the righteous fulfiller of God's law and He is the satisfier of God's justice. The primary aspect of the work of the cross is Godward. Oh, it has an aspect toward man. But it only has that manward aspect because, first of all, it has done a work toward God. Paul makes this clear in writing to the Hebrews when he announces the fundamental work of the priest is toward God. It is a work of satisfaction. It is a work of a just Savior, personally righteous, doing a work to placate divine vengeance by fulfilling every part of the law and satisfying divine justice. The Apostle John spoke of this in 1 John 2 in the opening verses. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now notice the description. Our advocate is Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation. The word propitiation, He is the righteous appeasement of the wrath of God. He is the righteous satisfaction of the justice of God. It's the meaning of propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We see clearly Christ the righteous is the propitiation. Paul spells out the very same truth in Romans 3, 25 and 26. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That He might be righteous and yet declare sinners who believe in Jesus righteous. That's the great problem that faced God, if I could put it in that way, very reverently. Salvation was not an easy thing. In comparison to salvation, creation in all its intricacy was simplicity itself. God spoke and it was done. Now I'm not for a moment undervaluing the tremendous wisdom of God in creation. Obviously not. The more you understand of the smallest part of God's creation, the more you stand in awe at the tremendous, the infinite wisdom of God manifested in it. But nonetheless, when you get into practice, God spoke and it was done. Salvation could not be accomplished that way. The problem was, here are sinners, corrupt, vile, guilty, wretched, and fully deserving of the wrath of God. Here is God, inflexibly holy, unchangeably just. He cannot acquit the guilty. How then can a just God remain just and righteous and yet acquit guilty sinners? The wisdom of God never shone more brightly than in the answer of grace. Jesus Christ, the absolutely sinless and righteous one, came forth as the head of his believing people, joined in the covenant of redemption, so that the living head stood for the whole body. And Jesus Christ, the righteous, satisfied God when he said on Calvary, "It is finished." When he said, "It is enough. It's done. It's complete." Thank God he had made the way whereby God could remain righteous and yet declare those who were personally guilty legally righteous because of the righteousness of Christ that satisfied God and was put to their account. It's the great genius of the gospel. Thus the Lord of righteousness becomes the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23 verse 6 uses that title, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in chapter 33 and verse 16, the prophet uses the very same title and says, Jerusalem will bear that name. My, what a tremendous truth. This is the personal name and title of Christ. He is the Lord our righteousness, but we will bear his name. Jerusalem, his city, that glorious description of his people, bears his name because he is the Lord our righteousness. This is the believer's testimony. As Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, he is made unto us righteousness. That's the first aspect of the work of Christ. He is the Lord of righteousness. And because he is the Lord of righteousness, he is the King of peace, the King of Jerusalem. That speaks of the reconciliation of the sinner. Now, reconciliation with God is always and only on the basis of Christ's work of righteousness. There is no other basis.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.